It is Way of the Warrior, Eric along with Ken Evans, episode 287, breaking down everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We will get this going as soon as possible. And by soon as possible, I mean right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 yep. seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We had a week off, what I would call at this point a rare week off. I can't remember the last time we actually had a week off where we didn't have an event. But now we have an event as UFC.
I thought we had some European event that I was just ignoring. Are you sure?
There was not a UFC European event.
Oh, okay.
That's
all
what
right.
You were thinking of ignoring. That was not a thing. But we now have UFC Fight Night 74, which takes place in Saskatoon, which I know you're a big fan of.
Saskatoon?
Home of Sabretooth, if you're a Wolverine fan.
Sure.
And they will be at the Sasktel Center. Max Holloway will be taking on Charles Oliveira. You'll have Neil Magny back in the mix against Eric Silva. Patrick Cote against Josh Berkman are the three kind of exciting fights that you will check out this Saturday night. Ken, you'll also be excited. Main card starts at 9 o'clock on Fox Sports 1.
Oh, we're buying an extra hour.
So somebody is listening to the podcast.
I'm telling you, there's somebody. Intern there is like, these guys really have been yelling about the time for about like 6 months now. And yeah, we might want to do something about that.
So you bought an hour, which is exciting.
And I said, you know, try to give us an hour. Let's see what happens.
And I think that's totally reasonable.
I think they're trying, you know, they're not giving us the best shot here with the Holloway Oliveira card. But I mean, it's an
You don't like
card.
That fight?
Oh, I like that fight. Sunday morning. That's what I like about that fight.
Fair enough. Max Holloway is on a 6-fight winning streak. He just beat Cub Swanson, taking on Charles Oliveira, who just beat Nick Lentz. He is on a 4-fight win streak. Neither one of these guys have lost in the past 2 years. Max Holloway clearly the busier of the two, as he has 2 more fights in that time frame than Charles Oliveira has. And here's what you're seeing. You're seeing 2 guys. Max Holloway, his chances are great on the feet. Oliveira is clearly one of the top jiu-jitsu guys in the sport today. So this fight certainly does not want to go to the ground if Max Holloway wants to have a chance to continue his winning streak.
I agree.
I know you do. You're going to be awesome today on this show.
No, this is look, I know people get mad sometimes. Let's see what happens with the fight and let's move along.
Nobody gets mad. They just know that when you're in and when you're out and
when it's UFC fight night 37. Look, I don't want to be a dink, so maybe I'll give him a watch since it's on at 9 o'clock because I can't be that guy.
Right. You can't bitch about it. Yeah, can't bitch about it and then not tune in.
Then not tune in now. But I like that Patrick Cote fight on there too. That should be fun.
Well, and I think that's kind of what you and I,
old school vibe on there.
Old school, and you and I would call it a fan fight as Cote takes on Berkman. Berkman is 1-2-2 in his last 4 fights, just lost to Dong Young Kim, and of course that non decision to Hector Lombard for the positive test. He went the full 3 rounds against Hector Lombard and ultimately lost. And probably should have lost in the first or maybe midway through the second round, but he went the whole fight and then got it overturned because of the positive test on Lombard's side. Patrick Cote just beat Joe Riggs, but prior to that had lost a fight and had been not very busy because I think, as Ken was alluding to a second ago, Cote's kind of in the twilight of his career. As to me, Ken, he hasn't really looked as fantastic as he did when his knee blew out against Anderson Silva, when it looked like he had a chance with Anderson, and then his knee blew out, and he really hasn't been the same fighter, I don't think.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of dudes you could say that for. I mean,
but I'm saying it about Patrick.
He blew the knee, though, so I mean, that's a little different. Yeah, I mean, I always enjoy his fights. I think this will be a fun little fight to see. I mean, obviously, we're at feature fight point for Patrick Cote. He is one of those dudes, though. He's been around a long time, and, you know, I tell you what, every time we get those events where you end up having a guy, and Patrick Cote is really a guy that stuck out on the scene when he got in that fight with Anderson Silva. Obviously, he hasn't been the same since that fight, and that's what I say a lot when we're talking on the show about guys. You want to get him in that main event level. You want to get him into a championship fight because they're going to be guys that can pay off a couple years down the road. Because I'm looking at this card, and obviously the Max Holloway fight is going to be a fun fight, and it's got some contendership issues in there depending on where these guys go and how impressive they are. But you also got to have some of these fights on the card where it's like, oh yeah, Patrick Cote, man, he goes in there and he grinds. He knows how to fight. He's a fun guy to watch, and that's what he is on this card. Because We're starting to get to the point where we're at one or two fights at best on some of these cards.
Yes, and Patrick Cote is clearly the name that they've got there to drag in, like you said, people that are like, oh, yeah, I used to watch Patrick Cote when he and GSP were doing their thing.
And obviously the Neil Magny fight is going to be a lot of fun, too. I'm really actually looking forward to that.
So am I, and it's crazy to say, if you remember last year, we talked that Neil Magny fought five times in 2014, and we thought that was impressive. This is his second fight in August.
Mm-hmm.
So coming off that terrible loss to Damian Maia, he is 7-1 in his last eight and clearly needs to prove something. Here's the interesting part, though. I don't know how much you could learn in 20 some odd days before getting back in the cage. And Eric Silva is really, it's no slouch. Just retired Josh Koscheck in his last fight. 5-3.
Oh, I forgot about, I thought Koscheck went to Bellator.
He probably. Isn't that retirement at this point?
Okay,
really?
All right, here we go.
5-3 in his last eight, and then, of course...
Tell you what, that Bellator intern's not going to do any changes for us like the UFC interns
They
do.
Are not, but they've got Viacom dollars, so what do they care?
They don't need us.
Silva not as busy. He's had some injuries on and off, and so he hasn't fought nearly as much as Neil Magny, but to be fair, nobody has fought nearly as much as Neil Magny as, like
you
I
know
said...
You know what I love about Neil Magny and those fights, too, you mentioned? I'm going back through. I was trying to grab the dates on them. Is the year that he was on The Ultimate Fighter, they're still all, like, secrets of when he fought, right?
Yes.
Like, we don't actually... Like, so he's got all these fights from 2014, and then he's got all these other fights we know he had that we don't know when those happened. That was obviously back in 2012, though, but it was just kind of funny because that year he fought a ton, too. And he's fought a ton, lot of times.
He's a super busy fighter. This will be a good test to see where he is. As we talked 2 weeks ago when he lost, we essentially said, look, he's not ready for that upper echelon at 170. We thought he was. He had won seven in a row. We thought he's on this tear.
This is literally like a three-week turnaround. I know you were kind of just joking about like the 2 weeks, but it's like literally going to be 3 weeks.
Totally. And he gets back in, and Eric Silva is a good test to see where you actually are. And Neil may end up at this point till he gives himself some time to... And that's the really interesting thing about him is I think he needs some time to develop some more skills to start taking on those guys in the upper echelon, because Damian Maia just had it. I mean, and Damian Maia will have his way with anybody if you let it go to the ground, but Damian Maia had his way with Neil Magny the entire fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Neil needs some time to go learn some new skills, maybe check out some new gyms, check out some new training, and so maybe not fighting 27 times in 2016 is probably not the great idea for Neil Magny.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he likes to fight a lot. So, I mean, what are you going to do with a guy like that? It's hard in that situation because he's gotten where he's gotten by doing what he's done. I agree with you 100% that maybe that's not the right move for the next step, but it's very hard to get that in your head when you haven't done that.
Yeah, but how many times do you need to watch the Damian Maia fight to go, hey, I don't necessarily have the skill level to take on guys like this, because it's not like it's going to get easier after Damian Maia.
Maybe he's got some Betch Carrera obliviousness going on. For those of you that missed it, Betch wants a rematch.
She feels that she was unfairly beat in 34 seconds. And if you missed the story, Ken is referring to the fact that Betch was saying that she was unfairly judged on her performance and that she took offense to Ronda Rousey saying that she wanted to go out there and kill Betch in the ring, which was off of the fact that Betch said, I want you to not commit suicide after I beat you.
Well, there was a whole come to Jesus thing. Is this where we're going now?
Why not?
We'll just go
there
for a second.
Well, it's clear you don't give a flying F about UFC
Fight
Night 74.
That's your Fight Night 74 rundown.
So we'll go
brought to you by Fox Sports 1, 9 p.m. Finally.
They changed times for Way of the Warrior.
Well, no, Betch Carrera, she got mad because Ronda said that she was going to have a come to Jesus with her. And I think something was lost in translation, and Betch thought that Ronda wanted to murder her and send her to meet Jesus. Because I'm not making this up.
I know you're not.
Just you have to be careful how you laugh, because people think I make these things
up
sometimes.
I know you're not making it up, but it's funny, like, when you... If you were to say that sentence out loud in any language, you should laugh out loud. That would be the natural response.
So, yeah. So then Ronda Rousey was mistakenly attributed with a murder threat by Betch Carrera. And at that point, Betch made the comments about suicide, which obviously alluded to Ronda Rousey's father. And now,
who actually died.
Yes.
Right?
Who committed suicide. And that's when everybody went, whoa. It's a bad deal, man.
Right.
It's not going to be good for you.
Right.
So she's a little upset. Her 15 minutes of fame lasted 34 seconds, and she wants a rematch. So I was just wondering, you know, if you thought there was some of that obliviousness there.
I think there might be some of that obliviousness. Yes, there might be some of that. Well, I think
not that not quite at Betch's level.
I don't think it. I mean, you didn't see Neil Magny going. I was unfairly rolled around on the mat for 15 minutes.
Well, I do want to give credit to Jim Rome this week on his show. Let me look it up and make sure I have his quote right.
Sure.
Shut up, Betch. Okay, there we go. That was the quote. Courtesy of Jim Rome
fantastic.
And whatever CBS Radio Sports Network he's on right now.
Yes. The other news that came out after last week's recording, we kind of nodded.
I was just kidding. We didn't actually have to wrap up.
That's fine. We alluded to the fact that if you have not signed up for Fight Pass, there are reasons to sign up for them, and they are the Nevada Athletic Commission hearings. And this one
insane.
Was no different.
You know what's really funny about this one?
And we're referring to Anderson Silva in his hearing, which took place probably 2 hours after our recording of Way of the
Warrior.
Well,
what's funny, the hearing started about 20 minutes after we did the show.
Sure, okay.
So I sent a quick tweet out. Hey, anybody want in on this? It's going to happen. Oh, Anderson's up next. Then about 7 hours later, Anderson Silva, who was on the docket next, actually gets up there. I don't know how these things take so long. It's ridiculous,
but
said some trainer gave him some pills, and he didn't know the guy's last name, but of course, he gave him some pills, so, like, everybody in these hearings is just taking pills from strangers. This is insane. This is like Bill Cosby's wet dream, these NAC
right.
hearings, like, they'll just take the pills, I don't even have to trick them into it?
And it's crazy to think either, you know, we'll coin a phrase, right? Are you Batch Kohea ignorant in this mm-hmm. fact, and you just think that we're going to buy this line of BS?
They do, though. They do every time.
They do.
They go, okay, Tom the trainer gave you. We'd really like later if you could to get us Tom the trainer's number. Okay, I will get you Tom trainer number. Like, and everybody's English gets worse. As
they get more guilty.
As they get, harder questions.
Yes.
So that's why they do it, because it works. And we're going to talk about Anderson Silva. And what he ended up having happen was a suspension for a year. Plus, it ends up being like $380,000 you wrote down on the board
yes.
here. Thanks for doing the math.
You're welcome.
Now, here's the funny thing. How many months did I tell you he should just keep putting it off? Because historically, the NSAC or NAC, whatever you want to call them at this point, historically, they have never, never given out a punishment that isn't retroactive to the fight date.
Right.
So why not, sit around for 4 months and talk about right.
which is
dong
which is
pills, which is essentially what he came up with.
Like I said last week, though, like that was like a new thing as the thing he could no longer run from the hearing, right? You've pushed it off for 4 months. You actually have to show up this time. And now all of a sudden, my penis enlargement pills had things in them that I didn't
right.
understand.
Right. Anderson Silva, the biggest fighter on the planet at the time, easily, by far, with the access to the best medical facilities, trainers in the world, decided to what? Order some Amazon pills from Thailand?
Right.
Right.
And then take them, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah, like, oh, this is good. I'll put this in my body. This is sweet. This is,
And again, even if that's true, as I said last week.
But there was no punishment for that.
Right.
There was absolutely no punishment for him pushing the hearings off, taking time to come up with the dong pill story or whatever he wanted to do.
Sure.
There was absolutely no punishment for that. And do I agree or disagree with it? I'll be honest. I don't know. I don't think he should have gotten much more considering the statutes at
so
the time.
So, I mean, forgive me. Is he off then for another 8 months? Is that it?
Yeah.
Just eight months? Because I forget if it was 4 or 5 months. But
it goes January to January. It goes fight date to fight, basically fight date.
Yeah.
Which he's put it off now to this point. We're in the middle of August. That means he can start training. He never had to stop training. But he could literally sign probably a fight in the next 30 to 60 days easily. And do a camp and be back in the cage in January. So the guy had a mini vacation, pretended to come up with this dong story where, I didn't want people to know about my dong. I don't know. He's been fine, by the way, doing interviews in the ring. Everybody's
right.
English.
Right.
Gets so bad in those hearings. So I don't know. I didn't buy the story. I don't buy that dude is ordering pills. I don't care if his stuff isn't working. He's not.
I said this last week. So, when you see the hearing and then you add what I was talking about last week, I don't buy that this is how it happens, because I don't believe that if you have the best of the best of the best around you, you couldn't turn to doctor number six and go, hey,
don't tell one through five.
Hey, don't tell one through five this, but I'm having this issue. Is there something I could take that won't affect these tests? Is there something natural I could take to
and
try?
And by the way, if anybody's listening, no, there's not.
There
because,
isn't.
Because if it's going to work, it's going to put more testosterone right, because, into
like,
your body
let's,
somehow.
I mean, let's go biological for a second. Like, that's one of the main components to how that all that plumbing works, right, is you need testosterone to kind of get the rocket ship going. So if you're going to put something in your body that gets everything going below the belt, it's going to have some sort of testosterone.
Probably, yeah. Well, why didn't he just take a Viagra? I don't understand that. That just increases blood flow. He would have tested fine. That's why I'm not buying this. Because, and I mean, if you want to buy Viagra in a shady deal, you can too.
Yep.
I get the emails all day. All day I get the emails.
My Gmail account is full of these offers that I can get. Anderson Silva pills.
Well, I mean, because other than a Viagra, which increases blood flow, everything else has got some weird testosterone in it. So there's a way. You know, I'm not 100% sure, and maybe somebody can chime in on Twitter or Facebook, but I'm thinking that since Viagra is just increasing blood flow, you're probably not going to pop a test with that, right?
And I obviously don't know the answer to that, but I guess it goes back to the fact that if you are somebody who has a very strict diet, you've got a nutritionist, you've got all these people around you.
You have to make a weight by that pound every day.
You got to make a weight every single day. You've got to get up at X amount of time and hit 3 training sessions that, you know, move from Brazilian jiu-jitsu to wrestling to Muay Thai to whatever. I find it really hard to believe that when you're having an issue of any sort of health that you would sit at your MacBook at midnight on some random website and just order whatever the F you find that says it will help you with your sexual dysfunction.
Have we gotten the Tommy Toehold video yet? Because I can't wait to and he's ordering his Dawn pills.
He's ordering Dawn. So suspended for a year, which is not really a year, $380,000, which is not anything to him at this point.
Well, I wouldn't say it's nothing.
I mean, come on,
dude. It's certainly interesting, though. I know the NAC was trying to play a bunch of hard asses in there when they never right. are. I mean, no. They're essentially defense counsel. Let's also, if you really, do they archive these on Fight Pass? Because I've never actually went back to
I
watch
one. I believe they do, but
okay,
I've not done that either, so.
Because there's a point in the discussion where the guy who's essentially the prosecutor, you know, and it's not necessarily prosecutor defense there.
Sure.
But the guy who's laying the case out about, hey, he popped this test, this is what showed up, this is the numbers, blah, blah, blah. At some point, there's another guy talking in defense of Anderson Silva. Guy essentially raises his hand and goes, that guy's not a doctor. Why is he being allowed to talk? And all the commissioners look at each other like, I thought you let him talk. Like, the guy's not a doctor, and they're trying to call into question a test result, and the guy's literally reading, like, he's testified as a doctor. Like, all these people who are actual doctors, like, say he's real guilty.
Yes.
And then there's a guy over here that they just brought with him. And he just starts talking. And then one of the commission members is like, I believe you're a jurist doctor, though, aren't you? And the guy's like, sure, I'm a jurist doctor. I'm like, what is happening here with these? And this is one of the biggest fighters on the planet. Short of Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, Jon Jones, anybody else walking
Ronda
in that room?
Ronda Rousey.
Short of those four people walking into that room, you could not have a bigger fighter, I would argue, in that room. You think everybody would get their stuff together. They don't have any of their stuff together.
They don't. So he will be out, like Ken said, till January-ish. That was the second or fifth or something? I don't remember when the fight date was. But
it was like the 19th. So I asked a question on Facebook, and I ask you the question now. Is he done? Because I don't think he's done.
No, I don't think he's done. I mean, so what does that put him at, 40?
Yeah, it puts him at 40.
So he's at 40.
Puts him off a couple losses and a long time on the shelf. I don't think he's done, but I'm very curious. And I'm guessing, like I said, 30 to 60 days, we'll probably know the fight.
Well, and I was talking to a different friend of mine this week, and we were talking about how Floyd Mayweather has extended his career because he had a very defensive style. That's how he's been able to fight as many fights as he's fought over the course of his career. Anderson is very similar. The only damage he took, really, was Weidman in the first fight and his leg in the second fight, because he didn't really take very much damage from Diaz in that Diaz fight.
Took a little bit there, but he took damage we never saw him take before.
But I think,
which,
you know,
I think is going to speak a lot to somebody who had to sit out a year after that fight now.
Yes, and so my point was, age is certainly catching up to him, but would you see him doing something similar to this Patrick Cote Josh Berkman fight? Like, is it going to be you know, some sort of a highlight signature fight that he would take? I would see that happening. I know you sort of alluded last week to Rich Franklin coming back. I don't think that's a great fight for Rich Franklin, but might be a fight that Anderson would take.
Yeah, and you know, Matt Berkey's on our Facebook page when we asked the question, and I loved his response. It says, I feel like Anderson would have trouble with quite a few middleweights these days. Weidman, Rockhold, Romero, Jacare. Seems like the division is a lot more stacked these days. Either way, I'd watch him fight anyone. I would too, but I don't know if I'm picking him in any of those fights, and obviously we'll talk about Luke Rockhold in a couple minutes.
Sure.
Because he's a guy, I think he's approaching this Weidman fight very smartly. I look at that list, and, you know, this isn't the slam dunk for Anderson Silva we talked about just 2 or 3 years ago.
Do you put him up to 205 then? I mean, I'm not saying it's any easier there.
No.
I mean, you know, we're going to talk about Glover, who's like, you want me to clear out the division? Okay, I'll do that before, right? Like, so I don't know that it's any easier either.
I think we find feature fights, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you could give Diaz his rematch. The guy popped. Give him the rematch. We'll buy the Wolf tickets again.
Yes, all day.
That's the great thing with Anderson Silva. You're going to buy those tickets. And we'll probably, you've got 3 or 4 fights where he could probably still be terrible and lose. We're still going to buy the tickets and see what happens. We're still going to want to see what happens there.
Anderson Silva?
Shut up.
Sure, but I mean.
For those of you on Periscope, you just saw Eric's face light.
Well, because I mean, I said this last week, like the whole Dan Henderson Belfort thing, which we'll talk about in a minute. I don't know how much more he has in him, you know.
But he might have a Silva fight in him. Belfort might have a Silva fight in him.
Yeah.
Let him take all the steroids, hold it on like an Indian reservation, let him do whatever they want.
All the steroids, all the IVs.
Yeah.
All right, when we get back, we'll talk about all of that stuff. And Brock Lesnar put Dana White a bit on blast this week. We'll talk about that and a lot more. It's next, Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, Wolf tickets, and all. We had a ton, and I mean a ton, of fights announced this week.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Are we feeding them audio?
Yeah, they can hear. Yeah.
On Periscope?
Well, no, I mean, they just get it from
just
the phone.
Okay. You plug a wire into this thing over here.
Yeah, but it would go the other way.
And plug it right into like the yeah. There. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Next time we'll get you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining how Periscope.
Just made that part of the show,
that's
too.
That's terrific. Okay.
These guys can hear me fine even though I'm off mic. So don't worry about that.
All right. So Ken is working on Periscope, and we will keep doing this. But like I said, a ton of fights mentioned this week. We've got an addition to UFC 194, which is becoming huge. And I would say
this is ridiculous.
I would say
so. Rousey's got to be out. That's not going to happen.
Well, I was just going to say if that happens, well, and that's what I don't know if you listened to Luke Thomas this week, but that's what he was saying. Like, if you're going to do all of this in Vegas, that's a stupid waste.
Well, unless this is going to be, you know, a $500 cheap seat ticket like Pacquiao,
sure.
Mayweather was. I mean,
so what you have right now for UFC 194, which I'm getting conflicting dates. Is it? It's the 13th, right, of December. Is that what I have?
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be the 5th, but there's a Bocelli concert.
Clearly.
Don't ask me why I know that.
I won't ask you why you have tickets to it either.
But, that Saturday after.
Yeah, so it's that Saturday after, which I believe is the 13th. You get Aldo and McGregor, which, again, everybody in the world is super fired up to check out. Your co-main is what I think, and I know Ken will say he likes it by weight class, so thinks Weidman should be at the top of this, right? Is that what you're going to say?
Well, here's the thing again. Apparently, Chris Weidman is just your typical bridesmaid now every time he gets to get on a card. He's got to be in that co-main event spot. And can we not make money on Weidman? Why do they keep putting him on cards that people are already going to buy? And I get the other fight was going to be John Jones originally. So he was still on the card, but I did find it very strange that the interim title fight was the headlining fight.
No, and, I mean, and I told you when that happened. I think you're 1,000% right that you need to make money off Weidman. And Weidman clearly had sort of had it at the end of that fight where he's like, look, the hype train's leaving, kids. I'm not begging you again. You're either on this thing or you're off this thing. And I think he was saying that in part because he's consummately the bridesmaid, and in part because, I don't know, Ken, about you, but I think he and Rockhold, that's probably a really tough fight for Weidman.
I think it's a very tough fight, and I think the only thing I can think of, and we talk a little bit more about this on this show than a lot of MMA shows, is the business side here puts a ton of eyeballs on Chris Weidman.
Sure.
For this fight.
Especially
when you put him on Aldo McGregor's
card. God, if they add Ronda to this.
Right. Again, man, that would surprise the hell out of me. But, This is going to be very interesting to see what's going on here, because you've got Rockhold saying a lot of the things we've said. Chris Weidman's a beast. He's a monster. But I was reading just this morning that Rockhold saying he doesn't fight with the smartest fight IQ. And I think I would agree with that looking at some of the fights that Chris Weidman's in. I mean, obviously he beat Anderson Silva very definitively. So, you know, you can't really take it away from a guy when he's able to get it done in the cage. But I don't necessarily think that that makes you free from any criticism. And I think...
Are you referring to things like the final round with Machida, where it looked like Machida kind of had...
Yeah, I mean, he's a younger dude, too. I mean,
sure.
I mean, in fight game-wise.
Yeah.
I know he's in his 30s already, but, I mean, fight game-wise, he's kind of still coming up. That Machida fight's the one that's sticking out, and that's probably what Rockhold's talking about. I don't think it should have taken him, you know, all five rounds in a decision if he was the guy that we think he is. And it's hard to say that. You got Machida, a former world champion, a tough out for anybody in the world, and you come off two wins against Anderson Silva. But when you have a guy like Luke Rockhold say it, I get that some of that's going to be trash talk, and he wants to get in your head, too.
Sure.
He wants to make Chris Weidman think about not thinking about the fight. So he wants him to overanalyze it, because I think Chris Weidman is at his best, too, when he's probably not overanalyzing at this point in his career.
Just fighting.
When he just goes out and fights. If he starts trying to outmaneuver or outmatch Luke Rockhold, that's Luke Rockhold's best chance to win this fight. Will Luke be able to capitalize is obviously the big question. I think you and I both think he could in this fight.
I mean, I think, you know, they added a co-main to this co-main clearly as a number one, because it's an amazing fight that we've been waiting a long time to see. And number two, it's a backup plan, right? Because you put Jacare and Romero on that card, which is an amazing fight, but it's a backup plan. And I think all three of those guys pose different issues to Weidman, Romero being the outlier in all that, because I don't think Romero can go five rounds. I think Weidman can drown Romero if he gets past that first round.
Yeah, I think, well, obviously Romero would be the last guy you'd put in there.
Sure.
Only if you absolutely had to. Just to go back briefly, though, speaking about the division there, I wanted to note, too, Rockhold was able to finish Lyoto Machida. So I think that's why he's talking about
sure.
that fight.
Well, I mean, and you know, Anderson finished Lyoto Machida, right? You know, so I think when you do our favorite game, which is MMA math, if the champ can't finish Lyoto Machida, maybe he's just kryptonite to Anderson. You know, he's figured out Anderson.
Well,
and
I
that's,
mean,
you know,
he figured out Vitor pretty well, too.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he's just figured those guys out, and a guy who's kind of... Machida still has some issues when you're training for a guy like Machida. It's just hard to anticipate. And I'm not saying any more or less hard to anticipate than Anderson, but clearly they saw some stuff in training that made it very easy to figure out Anderson and even easier to figure out Vitor. But Lyoto caused them some issues, I guess.
Well, and yeah, and if you want to do that MMA math, I guess the Yoel Romero fight is an awesome fight because he was able to beat Machida too, so... I mean,
yeah, but again, with Romero, I think Romero's cardio and how big Romero is a problem. And Weidman's a guy that has a really, really brutally tough chin that Rockhold's clearly going to want to test. But I don't know that you're going to end him in round one. And if you're Yoel Romero and you can't end him in round one, that's a problem because, I think the same thing with Jacare. I think it's going to be a great fight. But if it gets past round one, Jacare is going to drag him into the ocean and drown him.
Yeah, well, and I think the interesting thing, and I don't want to take away from Weidman's ground game, but I mean, if you're going to talk about those two fighters against, I think Jacare's just, I wouldn't put a dollar on Yoel Romero at this point. As good a fighter as he is.
Sure.
I think Jacare's got a better chance of beating Yoel than Chris Weidman does. Not that they wouldn't both probably beat him. That's how I'd set the odds, which again, makes our most fun game of MMA math meaningless, but still fun to talk about when we think about this card. Which really is coming up pretty quick here.
It's coming up very quick, and like I said, those are the first three. We're still waiting to see, and I don't disagree with Ken that it's a bad idea to put Ronda there. I think given what's happened in July with all the tests, and we haven't seen the flock of fighters test positive that we thought we would, which is awesome.
We haven't really gotten through a whole round of all the divisions
yes,
and everything
we
yet,
we haven't actually
either.
Done that yet either. So
we're really only three or four cards in, and that's with them running almost the card every week.
Sure. But what I'm saying is, you know, if you have a chance to save Ronda, I think you should save Ronda for a different card because you're going to need it. You don't, as you just said, you don't need to put her on a card that has Aldo McGregor on it. You just don't.
Right. I don't think you do, but I'm just wondering if they're looking at that magical $2 million buy mark and they want to get there and they want to charge, you know. I think it was $1,200 for the cheap seats at Mayweather Pacquiao.
Let's get derailed for a second because I think that's where we're taking this. Are you saying that you think the cyborg thing is real?
No.
Okay.
No, I think you just put – here's the other thing. With Ronda Rousey, you can get her name value, but that tape fight's going to be tough to sell, which I still think is where they're leaning.
As much as we talked about Amanda Nunes, I've not seen anything yet. I've only seen Cyborg's trainer saying that we're in camp training to do this December thing at 135.
So shut up, make right. Wait. But that's the one thing that could be your one drawback in this instance. I don't think it would be a huge one, but your one drawback here would be. Okay, I'm not going to necessarily pay if it's just Ronda fighting a girl. She's whooped for the better part of 8 minutes.
But I don't know that that's true.
No, I don't either.
I don't know that that's true.
That's your possible drawback. Because...
I guess, but I think to go back to what you said 2 weeks ago, I think there are there's so many casual fans, and more specifically, so many female casual fans that just want to see this woman do amazing stuff. That they're more than happy to watch her do whatever, right? To see her doing her thing.
Oh, yeah. I still think you could have that for a couple times.
Okay. The other fights that have been named this week, UFC 193, which is a couple weeks earlier. That's headlined by Lawler and Condit, which we've talked about going to be an amazing fight. And you get Bigfoot Silva and Mark Hunt 2, which I think will be, again, another great fight to see those two go at it. And that will be at UFC 193. UFC Fight Night 77, as we talked a little bit ago, that's Hendo and Belfort. That's their rematch.
That's a really good fight night.
It's a great fight night because you got Glover Teixeira taking on Patrick Cummins. Cummins has been on an absolute tear after losing to Daniel Cormier, and this is Glover saying, look, Bader's previously occupied, as is everybody else. I'll clean out the rest of the division, and then you'll have nothing else to do with me but put me in a title fight.
Man, it's interesting. I tell you what, John Jones crashing that car is one of the best things happened to that division.
For that division?
As far as interest.
Hands down.
Now, obviously, we had John Jones and the John Jones interest, but I love how these fighters all feel like they're back into it.
Because they all are. If Glover beats Cummings, who else does he need to beat? There's mm-hmm. nothing else for him to do.
No, not at all. And he's back right in there.
You know? And if Cummings wins, like, you know, this guy, you're right back at having, I don't know that you would want to pay for a rematch with him in D.C.
No.
But there's a guy that, you know, if D.C. loses.
And a lot of respect for D.C., but he seems like one of the most vulnerable guys in all of the levels of championships here with the men and the women at this point.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. And maybe that's just going back however many dozen episodes when we talked about the show or that pay-per-view card. Maybe that's just going back to the fact that I said if he wins, we're not going to feel like he's champ because he lost to the guy that was the champ.
Right.
So they better be hoping that.
And they were saying that last week, I think, on UFC Tonight, that they feel that DC is one of the most disrespected champions for that very reason.
And I'm not disrespecting him. I'm saying, though, he appears to be the least strong. I won't even say weakest. Out of all the champions in the divisions, the guy you would if you woke up the day after and didn't see the pay-per-view the night before and saw that Daniel Cormier lost his championship, you wouldn't be that surprised.
No, but if Daniel Cormier knocks out Gustafsson in one round, does MMA math fix that?
No, well, a little bit, but I mean, you have to make the argument that you like the Gustafsson fight against John Jones, and there's too much. It's going to be tough. Now, a couple title defenses might fix that MMA math.
Sure.
And we still don't know what John Jones is going to have to do legally, right?
Been all quiet on the Western.
Yeah,
front.
That's a little strange at this point.
This week, Anthony Pettis says he's due back and should be ready to go in December and wants to be the backup plan to the title fight between Rafael Dos Anjos and Donald Cerrone.
Do you like that these guys are actually acknowledging that in their way of approaching a fight?
Right.
Like hey, dude, hey, guy's going to twist an ankle.
He's totally going to fall off that knee board. So
I'm here. I'm ready. They're basically stumping for backup positions.
Well,
that's a better fight than have to fight somebody else.
You know, and as I put up here, the shark in the water at that division is Nurmagomedov is also due back and ready to go in December. So we
don't get that Nate Diaz fight.
So you could get. I don't think you're going to get the Nate Diaz fight. Nor should you. But you know, you're going to get. You could get.
You don't think you reward those guys? Is that what? No. I'm not saying. I said that a little. My wording there wasn't the best.
Right.
But are you saying those guys shouldn't be rewarded for something like that happening?
How do you mean?
They shouldn't make a fight out of what happened in the audience when those dudes got into a fight.
I mean, I guess, except for I think for business-wise, it's way more interesting to put Pettis and Nurmagomedov together than Nate Diaz and Nurmagomedov.
I don't disagree with you. I just was wondering. I think hardcore MMA fans who pay attention to all the sites and might have seen Bellator, so they might know what happened there. But still, your casual fan, you'd rather have Nurmagomedov go in there against a contender and maybe fight for that championship.
I think it's just a better story, because if he goes and annihilates Nate Diaz, or worse yet, if Nate somehow pulls off a win, you know, you've just ruined all the stuff that Nurmagomedov's been working towards, and he's got to essentially start all over because Nate isn't even in discussion.
No.
You know, so, you know, I think that's a really tough fight for Nurmagomedov to take. Not that he couldn't win that fight, but there's too much at stake to walk away from the chance to fight Anthony Pettis and be cemented as the number one contender.
So an unsanctioned street fight.
Sure, why not?
Perhaps is on pay-per-view from the back alley.
Refed by Roger Huerta, because he's really good at those unsanctioned
there
street fights.
There you
go. Fight. See? Done and done.
Full
and then,
circle. What we call that in the business. We brought it back.
And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about before we take off this week, Brock Lesnar was doing an interview earlier this week where they were talking to him about the tweet Dana White sent out about wrestling being fake, which started a war with, I think that was Seth Rollins, right?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I think it was Seth Rollins.
Well, I just remember somebody, this was during Dana's really salty Twitter tirade
a couple weeks back.
And somebody mentioned the fact that, hey, it'd be really great if Fight Pass got on board because I get the WWE pay-per-views for $9.99.
My pay-per-views are $9.99.
Right, yep. And I don't even think it was even worded that harshly. And he said something along the lines, yeah, that's because that's fake. And obviously, you know, the results are predetermined. Brock Lesnar, you know, took a little bit of umbrage there. And, you know, he mentioned the fact that he thought Dana was jealous and Vince McMahon's better at his job than Dana is at his job. And, you know, I don't want to get into that argument right now, but it's just one of those things where if Dana's going to say something like that, and he knows, he's not a dumb guy, he knows he's probably going to get dragged into something somewhere, and he doesn't care because we're talking about him, and Dana White got a mention on SportsCenter. He doesn't care how that happens. He got a mention on SportsCenter during what was supposed to be WWE's time. So that's great publicity. Everybody, ooh, what's Dana going to say now? Now everybody's paying attention to Dana. This worked out well for him. Hell, Brock might be in on it. They're all that good at this, by the way, folks. We could all be getting played between Vince, Dana, because we know Vince and Dana, they've had cordial relationships in the past in meetings. They're fans of each other.
They are fans of each other.
So, you know, this could be them working a whole deal. The UFC was mentioned three times on WWE programming this past week.
And they may all be in on it. What I will say, though, is I will agree slightly in the fact that Vince is better at capturing moments that are happening than the UFC is. And by that, I mean this weekend, SummerSlam is hosted by Jon Stewart. Mm-hmm. And you have Steve Amell from
Arrow
coming to, you know, fight in a WWE sanctioned SummerSlam match. So I think they're a little bit better at kind of, and again, I'm not saying that we should start bringing pop stars into the octagon to fight. That's not what I mean. I just think that there are
Sinead O'Connor doesn't want to jump in
that's
there
not
after
what I mean.
She sings for
She can fight Betch Cohera. That's what she can do.
That's a good match for Betch.
Let's book that. What I'm saying is, like, they're just better at kind of getting the spirit of what's happening in that moment. And I think having Jon Stewart host SummerSlam is a very cool way to kind of show what what sort of things he might do next or how broad his
I don't want to get off topic,
interest
but
based is.
How funny would it be if that's just what he does now?
He just does wrestling?
Because everybody who watches The Daily Show would just be like, what, that's what he left for? He's going to go work, and he just works there because he's a super fan.
He's a commentator for the WWE.
He's a super fan, yeah, and he's done it, you know, he's one of those dudes that's just pushed it through on his show. And
right.
Clearly, the audience never reacts because they don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Right.
But he's a big fan, so he loves it. But to get back to capturing the moments, I agree with you. But I wouldn't say it the way Dana said it. But I mean, it's obviously easier to capture a moment when you can create the whole thing. So I think there's validity to both statements here.
1,000%. But I think, you know,
like, you know, Brock Lesnar is going to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. So you've got your cameras ready.
Right.
You've got your pre-roll ready. You've got everybody in the back ready. You know, you don't necessarily in the UFC know when that moment's going to happen. You have to react. I do think they could do a better job Like, I would very much love to see what Vince McMahon would do. Nobody would be able to know about it because everybody would be upset about the credibility of the fights.
Sure.
But I would love to see, like, a Vince McMahon look at what the UFC would be. And a lot of people say, well, look at 2005. No, that was them maybe getting a tenth of the way there and trying to do what WWF was doing at the time. I really would like to see the promos because I was on a marketing thread the other day. I meant to forward this to you because it's kind of your area of expertise. I was on a marketing thread the other day and somebody brought up WWE and somebody mentioned the fact that they get so much leverage out of their product because the marketing is top notch.
Oh, they're one of the best, hands down one of the best.
That there are so many products across the board in industry, in production, in retail, that if they had what the WWE had as far as marketing and focus of marketing and brand messaging, that they would be a $1 billion industry.
Sure.
For like just hundreds of different industries. And this guy kind of made a list of what this company does and doesn't pull in. I thought it was super interesting because they're always on message. They're always on focus. What's the biggest thing we talk about sometimes with UFC? They're all over the place. We don't know what's going on. The cards are at different times. They're all over these networks
different
without
channels,
a singular message.
Yeah, right.
Fight Pass can't seem to sync up anything. You know, it doesn't have to be Vince McMahon, but a guy who knows that type of branding and that type of messaging would not let those things happen. And that's probably more along the lines what Brock was alluding to than the fact that maybe they can feature a fighting moment better. Because that's one thing that in this business where you're looking at it, where if you look at Bellator, I even think sometimes they're better at that. They just don't have the talent that people want to see.
Yeah, they don't have.
But I'm always genuinely surprised sometimes when I watch Bellator, whenever we get one of those feature fights or something else is going
on. Yep.
I'm always impressed by the slickness. And I get it. That's some packaging. That's not the core of the product. That's not the substance that's there. But a lot of times that makes a big difference. And I would argue in some instances where the brand messaging is off and where everything's happening at different times and where you can't easily find things on the app I pay for.
Sure.
This isn't a free app. The app I pay for.
And
if you can't do any of those things, I think that hurts your business, and that doesn't help the core, and you don't have room for that in this day and age.
Well, and I would say, and you know, this is because I've only done this once. I would say, you know, to that end, when I had WWE, their app, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could watch SummerSlam whenever you wanted to,
mm-hmm.
right? When I purchased UFC 190 with Ronda Rousey, I went to go back and watch it on Fight Pass so I could show my wife the fight because she wasn't with me. I was in Chicago. She was here.
Yeah.
And they don't allow you to rewatch it. They want you to rebuy it, right? There's no way to rewatch
really?
The pay-per-view, which I think is just a terrible I already gave you $60. Why can't I watch it as many times?
You couldn't watch it the next morning?
I couldn't watch it again because I'd watched it already.
Oh, wow. Like, even my PS3 let me watch it.
Like
the next
if
day.
There's a way to do it, I couldn't find out how to do it because it just kept asking me to rebuy it, which I wasn't going to give them another $60.
And again, that could have simply been a glitch in the system. I don't know how many. I had to reset my account to watch the NSAC hearings, a hearing that I think they give away for free, anyways, on the app.
Right.
And I know I paid for this stupid thing and I hardly use it. And it's. That's the issue. I love the product. Everything around the damn thing seems like a mess sometimes. And I think that's probably where we get into this Vince McMahon, Dana White.
Well,
argument.
Of course you do, because I, again, you know, one final note before you take off for the week. We are 2 weeks away from McGregor Faber on Tough.
Oh, forgot about that.
Of course you did. I haven't seen it. I mean, I've seen stuff on Twitter, but I have not seen anything on Fox Sports 1. I have not seen anything in any other newsfeed. I'm not seeing sponsored ads show up in my newsfeed, which I would expect that the targeting you can do on Facebook would get that promo in front of everybody possible so I don't have to go search for it. It would go, oh, these are the types of people that would want to know about this show. I'm going to start promoting the crap out of it because there's really Faber and McGregor aren't fighting. So the only draw is, do you want to see McGregor on TV? And I think that's kind of an X factor if he's not fighting.
And I know we're going long.
We can do whatever
point.
We want. I mean, it's
but
a podcast. But
here's a very interesting thing that lines up directly with what you just said. And I just remembered it when you said that, is as far as capturing moments. A couple weeks ago, John Cena
sure.
had his nose broken.
Yep.
On TV.
Mm-hmm.
For real, by the way,
yeah.
guys, if we're going to talk about fake versus real. Just it was a blown spot. They know how to make up for those blown spots, though. They make them into things. They hyped John Cena's return to television for their Tough Enough show, which is their version of The Ultimate Fighter. And they drew one of the biggest ratings they've ever had on that
yep.
show. because they know how to take that moment and go, we're not going to put him back on Raw or whatever show we have.
Till his nose is set.
Right.
Right.
But he can come back and be on Tough Enough and we'll have people eyeballing that show. And you know, that's a perfect example. They took that moment. That was actually a screw up as far as professional wrestling goes. You know, guy got his nose busted. That's not supposed to happen. You know, well, okay, we're going to build it. We're going to make it into something. We're going to do something with it. Hey, let's put him on our other show. You know, why didn't I see? I should have seen Conor McGregor all night on the Ronda Rousey pay-per-view.
Not only in the Ronda Rousey pay-per-view, but the one last week, or sorry, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. every other commercial was Ronda Rousey. I didn't see a single thing about this Ultimate Fighter show.
So, yeah, I think it's very interesting. And, you know, a lot of people talk about the fights being real and scripted and those things. And those are valid arguments, but I don't think that's the crux of what Brock's saying here. But he might just be working us all between three of them.
They totally could be, but I think there are actually marketing things to be learned here. And I think I was saying this the other day. I think 58 to 62 events a year is just too many to get any sort of focus.
So those of you who want to follow up on this topic, marketing is everything.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Everything is marketing.
You've got to get that message out there a little more.
Branding sucks. That's all my fault.
If you only posted more about your podcasts.
I really hate you right now.
Get those on Periscope too, right?
I will.
All right.
All right. Have a great weekend. You can follow us along on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.